We invite you once again to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with us to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we want to read from verse number 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, let's hear the Word of God. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, for this living truth. We thank you for the warnings it contains, the instruction it gives. And we do pray, Lord, that even today you will take all thoughts that are inconvenient for this moment out of our mind and fill our mind with the message of God. We pray we'll hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us. We pray today we will know his truth, that we will be obedient to his truth, that this truth will help us to have freedom in Christ. And we pray, even should there be someone listening to my voice and, Lord, not yet saved, that they will consider how they stand before a holy God and even this day come to Christ for salvation. Empty me of self and sin, I pray. Fill me with thy Spirit, O Lord, and help me to preach the word of God to the glory of the name of my Savior. For I ask it in his precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Over the past number of weeks, we've been looking at the final exhortations of the Sermon on the Mount. In verse number 12, we have the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Then last week, we looked at verses 13 and 14, and it talked about the broad road and the narrow road. And our thought was, be concerned about which way you are travelling. Now we come to verses 15 through 20, and we want to consider this morning about being careful about the teaching you receive. Or you could title it this, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? The warning starts off with the word beware, and it means to pay attention to be cautious about, to take heed. Now, there are many things that can take our attention in this very busy digital age, and there's so much information bombarding us from every side. But the Lord calls his people, those who've been saved by his grace, cleansed by his blood, to beware or to take heed of this important matter. And there's three simple thoughts I want to leave with you, or three simple headings I want to leave with you as we consider verses 15 through verse 20. First of all, we want to consider the problem. Because if the Lord's telling us to beware of something or to take heed about something, then there's obviously a problem that we must think about, we must consider, and we must be aware of. And the Lord tells us exactly what it is in verse number 15. Beware of false prophets. Now, in the Greek, the word is pseudo-prophets. The word pseudo meaning something that is false, deceitful, wicked, a liar, those who attempt to deceive. Now we know that where there is something that is appointed by God and something that is blessed of God, then the devil will always have a counterfeit. So where there are true teachers and or prophets, which simply means a forth teller, someone who's telling forth truth, then you will have those who are telling forth lies. It's interesting to note that that word false or that word pseudo in the Greek is used various times in the New Testament to describe the counterfeit. You see, we talked already today in the service in the reading in Acts chapter 14 about brethren and how the brethren were persecuted there in Iconium for their faith. But in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we read of false brethren or pseudo-brethren. You see, those who are pretending to be something they're not, the counterfeit, not the real thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13, we read of false prophets. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, we read of false teachers. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, there is a phrase in that verse that says, speaking lies. But in the original, in the Greek, it is false speakers. In Matthew 26, verse 60, we read of false witnesses. In Matthew 24, verse 24, we read of false Christs and false prophets. Those who claim to be the Messiah, those who claim to be able to bring salvation to the people, they even arose. And everywhere there's something that's appointed by God and something approved by God and something blessed by God, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a preacher, whether it's the brother, whether it's saved people, whether it's witnesses, whether it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil always will have a counterfeit. Now, there have always been false prophets. This is nothing new in our day, in our generation. Right from the very moment that God spoke truth in the Garden of Eden, the false prophet arose, Satan himself. Hath God said? No, God didn't mean that. And there was the first of his work as a false prophet, teaching something contrary to the truth of God, telling people this is better than what God says. Oh, there's always going to be someone who is standing against the teaching of truth. But I want us to look through Scripture for a few moments this morning and to see some of the marks of the false prophet, that you and I will be able to identify who they are. So if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 13, and we want to read verses 1 down to verse number 5. Deuteronomy 13, and it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And we see the message of the false prophet at the end of verse number 2. Let us go after other gods. Now that is the message of the false prophet. Let us serve another God. Let us worship another God. Let us love another God. But here's the problem. They often don't come out so explicitly and say those words, but rather they'll present another God before you. Maybe a God of their imagination. Maybe a God whom they say, well, you can live whatever way you want with this God. He doesn't mind if you're in sin. He doesn't mind if you're immoral. He doesn't mind these things. Oh, he loves you anyway, and he's happy, and he will bless you. You can do whatever you want and expect the blessing of the Lord. Friend, that's a God of the imagination. That's false teaching. That's coming from a place where it's telling someone to go after another God, because it's not the God of Scripture. So the first mark of the false prophet is that he will call you to worship and to love and to serve someone other than the God of Scripture. And that's a very important thing to be on the lookout for. Make sure that the one they direct you to worship is the one who's been revealed in the Word of God. Then turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, let's look down there at verse number 11. And this whole passage, in fact, this very chapter, I should say, is to do with false prophets and false pastors. It says there in verse number 1, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." But some things to notice about the false prophet here. Verse number 11, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Verse 14, "I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of the evildoer, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." And it's interesting to note that one of the marks of the false prophet is this, that they are not living lives of godliness or righteousness. They're not upright. They don't have any integrity. In fact, it says that none doth return from his wickedness. Why? Because they're encouraging the wicked in their sinfulness. And no person should ever come into the house of God in sin and walk out feeling that the pastor has been patting them in the back in their sin. Not that he's speaking directly to them, but he's speaking something like, "Live how you want and God will bless you anyway." But rather, they should go out in fear and trembling because a preacher has told them that God is angry with their sin and God is angry with the sinner every single day. Verse number 13, it says, "And I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err." And here is another mark of the false prophet. Their teachings will cause the people to err, to be wrong, to go the wrong way, to do the wrong thing. False teaching results in people living in error. Verse number 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of my prophets, of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." They speak from their own imagination. They speak from their own imagination, and there are people today, and they're putting up quotes today by people, and they've come up with this quote, they think this is wonderful, and they're living by it. I have a better quote, the scriptures. The word of God is the truth. The word of God will change the hearts of man. Put up the word of truth. Now we rejoice in those people like C.H. Spurgeon and those wonderful men of God who have written such wonderful things. But why that is good to put up those quotes and it's good to put up those men, don't forget about the word of God. This is a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. This is the living word of the living God. And sometimes today, little quotes or sound bites seem to be popular. This is truth. Come to the scriptures. Come to the word of God. How sad when people speak from their own imaginations. I read something this week online and it seemed quite good. And then I thought about it and I thought, well, what's the basis for that? And then when I actually thought about it, there's nothing in scripture could have backed it up. And I thought, well, that's rubbish. And yet when I looked at it, it was appealing and it seemed to be the right thing. But when I thought about it in the light of scripture, it was nonsense. Friend, we need to make sure that we do not have teaching coming to us from people's imagination, but coming from the word of God. And the interesting thing is in verse number 25, "I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Oh, the Lord showed me this, and the Lord gave me this message, but it's lies, it's not truth at all." They are false prophets. And therefore, we see that not every false prophet appears to outwardly be against the Lord. Because they say, well, the Lord showed me this and the Lord showed me that and the Lord's blessed me in this way and the Lord can bless you too. But friend, measure it by the word of God. Because the Lord says they have been speaking lies. Look at verse number 31. "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith." Well, there are men and women today and they're standing in front of people. "The Lord has said this and the Lord has said that and the Lord's told me to tell you this and the Lord's told me to tell you that." And you went to find a book, chapter and verse in the Bible, you couldn't get it to back it up. And friend, if the word that the preacher is preaching is not in scripture, it is not to the honor and glory of God. There's enough in this book. to take us from earth to heaven. There's enough in this book to see men saved and brought into Christ-likeness and to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and to mature. We don't need extra. We don't need something else. There is no more revelation to be had. But rather, we come to this book and the Lord reveals it to us again and again and again. And that is why in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, the Lord calls them false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They appear to be the part. They may be dressed the part. They may be look successful. There might be a crowd of people following them, but you measure their teaching by the standards of the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6, if you turn with me just back a few pages, Jeremiah chapter 6, we see another mark of the false prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They preach a message of hope without Christ. They preach a message of peace without Christ. It's not gospel hope. It's not gospel peace. It's false. Because the Word of God says in Isaiah 48 and verse number 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. So for a man to stand in the pulpit and tell ungodly people, to tell men who are in their sin, women in their sin, boys and girls in their sin, don't worry, there's nothing to worry about in death or in eternity because God loves everybody and God accepts everybody. Friend, that's nonsense because there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And if you're not saved today, if you're watching this meeting and you're not saved by the grace of God, if you're not trusting in the finished work of the Savior on the cross of Calvary and the shedding of his precious blood, then I tell you sincerely, don't have any peace in your heart at this moment. Don't have any peace because there is no peace for you until you turn to Christ. Don't sit in contentment in your sin because there's no contentment in eternity. You need to turn from your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and we see now in the New Testament era, we also have the false prophets. And we are in Acts chapter 20, and looking at verse number 27. And Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare to you, unto you, all the counsel of God, the Word of God. That's what he has given to them. That's what the true prophet and the true teacher and the preacher gives. And he says to these people, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, also not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. You see, here we find that there are people who have no care for the people of God. And they will come in as wolves, and they will come in to destroy the flock. They will come in to completely annihilate the flock. Their desire is to corrupt and to disrupt and destroy. And they want people sometimes to follow them, to draw away disciples after them, verse number 30. And one more final verse we want to leave before we come back to the Matthew. It's in Revelation chapter 2, and the Lord is speaking to the seven churches in Asia, and chapter 2, verse number 20. And this is to the church at Thyatira. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, so a false prophet or prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And the result of the teaching of the false prophet is people engaging in, embracing, and excusing sin. And sad today, there are people in our land and they're encouraging sinners in their sin, yet calling themselves the servants of God. Now, friend, this is wrong. They are false prophets. They are not sincere. They are not genuine. They are destroying the work of God. Some of them with a collar around their neck. But they are not of God. And whenever we come back to Matthew chapter 7, we have to realize the fact that they appear to be in sheep's clothing. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they're something else. So the Lord is saying, beware, because they're plausible. There's some level in which they are plausible. Not everything will be wrong. There'll be some truth, there'll be some error, and it'll be mixed together. But that's wrong. And that's why you have to be very careful about what you listen to. That's why you have to be very careful about who you listen to. Not every book that you can buy in a Christian bookstore is good. Not every book is edifying. Not every book is honoring the Lord. Not every book is speaking truth in the Christian bookstore. You need discernment. Not every TV program that calls itself a Christian program or on the so-called God channel is truth. Some of it's error. Some of it's heresy. Don't just flick it on and listen to anything, but search out and see what is profitable, what is truly biblical. Not every preacher you listen to is going to teach you truth. That's a very sad thing to have to say. Not every church that you go into is going to teach truth. And therefore, you have to be careful. Don't just go into any church building. Don't listen to just any preacher. Don't watch just any Christian program. Don't listen to any Christian podcast. Don't read any Christian book. Don't accept any Christian website or Facebook page just because they speak of God in it. They may appear genuine, but that is the plan. The reality is they preach alternatives to the true way. Remember what the Lord has just taught. He's taught about two ways. He's taught about life or death. He's taught about the narrow road or the broad road. There are only two ways, and therefore false teaching is in opposition to biblical truth. Now, there were people in Jesus' day, and there are people today in this town, in this whole land that we live in, throughout this world, and they will teach things such as this. Hell is not a real place. The Lord was just speaking about it as a symbol for just how displeased he is with sinners or how dark sin is. The love of God will not permit someone to be punished everlastingly. That couldn't possibly be. You're not responsible for your sin. You have no guilt. Look at the parents that raised you. Look at the society you were raised in. How could you be responsible for your sin? In many situations, they'll say, what used to be called sinful and considered sinful is not really sinful. We know better now. We're more enlightened now, and we know it's not sinful at all, so go and engage in it. Try your best. Go to church. Be a good neighbor. That's all the Lord asks of you. Look, there are many ways to be right with God. There are many religions. Like, who can be truly sure that Christianity is the right one? Look, that person's sincere. That person's sincere. We're sincere. Let's try our best and hope everything works out in the end. Friend, that is what people are preaching today. That is what people are preaching today. And sadly, that is what people are listening to today. It seems plausible. They seem so sincere. They seem so kind. They seem to know. It's as if God has told them himself. But friends, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're damning souls to hell. Sadly, there are many people that want such teaching. There are people that want such teaching. I remember being in a funeral service years ago in this church and coming down the steps and hearing a man say, what was that pile of nonsense about? Going on like that about hell and sin. For goodness sake, it's a funeral service. He came out of this church saying that, going down the steps, running to the church that he belonged to. You know why? Because it didn't preach hell, it didn't preach sin. Tickled his ears, and that's exactly what he wanted to hear. And there's nothing new under the sun, because if you turn to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 8, we read these words. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that there may be for time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God, which say to the seers, and the seers are the prophets, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from us. You know what they're saying? Don't talk about Christ. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell us how good we are. Tell us if we try our best, we'll be okay. Don't tell us about Christ. Don't tell us about the cross. Don't tell us about Calvary. Do you know their churches today and their congregations? And if a minister comes into the congregation and preaches about the cross or the blood or sin or hell, they're told in the door and the way out, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. And I know that because I've had ministers myself tell me to my face that has happened to them. Not in our denomination, thank God. And may God ever preserve us. But I'll tell you, there are people who don't want to hear. And if you want to sit under falsehood, there's lots of it to be found. But friend, remember this, it's destruction. It's destruction. What is a ravening wolf? It's not a wolf. A wolf doesn't come to play. A wolf comes to devour, to snatch, to seize, to destroy. And that's what false teaching is. That's what false prophets are. They are destructive. They destroy. In Matthew 15 and 14, the Lord described it in this way, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You see, the Savior desires the preachers to be saved, spiritual and scriptural. Saved, spiritual and scriptural. And you'll find that whenever Paul is speaking to Timothy, those are the things that he lifts up, that he's saved, that he's spiritual and he's scriptural. And you ought to be able to look at your minister and ask the question, is that man saved? Is he spiritual? Is he scriptural? Now, true preachers need the prayers of the people of God. For whenever they seek to preach, the devil comes in and attacks. Not just in the mind, not just in the body, not just from the ungodly, but sometimes, even in the house of God, things can come onto the preacher. And the devil can take anything. And therefore, you need to hold up your preacher. You need to hold up the preachers of our congregations and pray the Lord to protect their mind and their body. And the Lord will give them good relationships with their people. And the Lord will give them that wisdom to do what is right before God and before men. False teachers and preachers present great hope that cannot be delivered. True preachers point away from themselves to Calvary. They point to Christ. Only he can save and only he can satisfy. I hear some people saying, but sure they're not doing any harm. Friend, they're leading sinners to hell. They're encouraging sinners to hell. If they preach heresy, they're sowing confusion, division, disunity. All of these things, they're dangerous, and we need people who are faithful. Anything that's a false, anything that's not the genuine article, see anything like that in a pulpit, that's dangerous. It ought not to be so. And therefore, we need to take heed in regards to what and to whom we listen. Then we come to the test. Verse number 16 down to verse number 18. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So here is a test. Ye shall know them by their fruits. The Lord takes something that is natural occurrence in our land, and he's basically saying that whatever it is, the kind produces after its kind. So grapes and figs, they are good fruit, but they grow on the vine or they grow on the tree. The thistles and the thorns cause pain. They and actually the result of the fall. The ground was cursed, and the thorns and the thistles came forth because of the curse upon the ground. And therefore, whenever we think about this, what the Lord is saying is, from a thistle you will not get that which is beneficial or good. And from the thorns you'll not get that which is beneficial or good. And the test here is the fruit. What is being produced in your life? Is it sin? Or is it holiness? We can think about it as the character of the individual. We think about the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord speaks of in Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, not only the fruit of the Spirit, but we read about the lust of the flesh or the things that pertain to the flesh. And therefore, those two things are contrasted. So we call it the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And as you go down that chapter, you can see, well, that applies to me or that applies to me. And ought to be, if you're a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit is seen in your life. Now, we can only have that fruit within our lives if we are living close to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now we cannot bear spiritual fruit without the Lord Jesus Christ, or without walking in the Spirit. And this is true. There ought to be spiritual fruit in the life of the believer. It ought to be known that a person is a Christian by their character, by their conduct, by their conversation. But whenever we consider this particular instance, and it's talking about their fruit, and we're thinking about preachers, and we're thinking about those who are teaching and those who are prophesying, we could think of the fruit as being the words of their mouths. By their fruits you shall know them. By their teachings you shall know them. Because it says in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45, Luke chapter 6 verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And therefore, the words that we speak really are the fruit of our heart. Therefore, to know if a person is true or false, we not only look at their character, although that is part of it, we do look at their character, but that's not enough. It's not enough to look at their character, we look at their message. J.C. Ryle, that great Anglican bishop, said, they are to be followed and believed so long as their doctrine agrees with the Bible, but not a minute longer. Sound doctrine and holy living are the marks of true prophets. So how do we go about making sure that we are receiving truth? Well, if you're listening to someone, you open this Bible and you follow along. And you read the Bible. You become knowledgeable in the Scripture. You read the Bible and you continue in the Word of God, and you strengthen yourself in the Word of God, and you develop that knowledge in the Word of God. You see, it's the neglect of the Bible that makes many prey to false teachers. And we need to be aware of watching against the world and the flesh and the devil, but we also must be equally aware of watching against false teachers. And how do we fight against the world? How do we fight against the flesh? How do we fight against the devil and the false teacher? We do so with the knowledge of the Word of God. And every person has a responsibility to weigh up what they hear by opening their Bible and checking. They must do that. Oswald Chambers said, you will know them by their fruits. You do not gather the vindictive mood from the Holy Spirit. You do not gather the passionate irritability from the patience of God. You do not gather self-indulgence and the lusts of the flesh when you spend time alone with the Spirit of God. And therefore, what he is saying is, when someone is walking with the Lord, their life will be right before the world and before God. But we also have to measure it by the Word of God. And when we measure the message that is being preached, we must be careful that we do measure it by the word of God. There's a danger sometimes that there's a carnal suspicion of everybody, an overtaking of the discernment of the Holy Ghost, and the flesh rises up and man thinks he comes to God's house sitting judgment of every person that speaks, rather than humbly praying that the Lord will bless the preacher. But we have to know what is right and what is wrong, and we do it by opening the word of the Lord. One old Bible commentator said, "It's easy to get alarmed and to persuade ourselves that our particular convictions are the standards of Christ, and to condemn everyone to perdition who does not agree with us. We are obliged to do it because our convictions have taken the place of God in us. God's word never tells us to walk in the light of convictions, but it tells us to walk in the light of the Lord. And our convictions must come from the word of God. And sometimes we have convictions and there's nothing particularly wrong with them, but they are not actually scriptural convictions. They're not wrong in and of themselves. It's maybe a standard we hold for ourselves, but it's not a scriptural thing. But we need to be careful that we don't hurl that onto other people, or think if somebody doesn't agree with us in some secondary issue and look at it the same way that we look at it, that they're somehow more or less spiritual than we are. But I believe it's summarized here in 1 John chapter 4. And this is how we measure people and how we seek to know if the preacher that's preaching is indeed from the Lord. 1 John 4 verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You're of the God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Friend, we do not want to be listening to things that appeal to the world because they appeal to the flesh. We want to listen to things that appeal to the Spirit because they present us with Christ. And therefore, if a man is preaching the word of God, forget about his personality or his delivery or all of those things that sometimes we so carnally measure someone up by. But listen to the message. Listen to the words that he is saying. If it is of Scripture, if it is in accordance with Scripture, receive that as a message from the Lord. But friend, if it errs, if it goes further than Scripture goes, if it doesn't go as far as Scripture goes, if it goes in contradiction to Scripture, friend, you leave that and you stop listening to such a person. The principle is found then in verse number 19 and 20. We thought about the problem. We thought about the test. We measure by the word of God. Here's the principle. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." There is a judgment coming. Now, if that preacher is going to be hurled into hell because he's never been saved by the grace of God, if he is going into hell, then you can be sure there's a congregation following him. That's why we need to be so careful about who we listen to. And the Lord sees you today as who you truly are, and he sees me as who I truly am. He knows our thoughts toward his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the fruit of our life, and he will judge us as we stand before him. And I trust and pray that as we stand before him, our lives will bring forth fruit, and we will be able to present the fruit of our lives to him as a living sacrifice. But notice what it says, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." This is speaking, yes, about the preacher who's not saved and preaching falsehood, the false prophet. It's also speaking about the ungodly. Those who are not saved, a life without Christ is a life bound for eternal punishment. Imagine claiming to live a life of speaking in the name of the Lord and then found in hell. Imagine sinner watching today, claiming to live as a Christian, but a counterfeit. True preachers, faithful preachers, open the book and they present Christ. Man's not exalted in this book, but Christ is exalted. Man is revealed to be a sinner, and he's lifted out of his sin when he trusts in Christ and repents from his sin. Works are spoken against because works cannot save us. They're as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. But repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood are the only way of salvation. The preacher will tell you that we all stand equally before God. And therefore, we have to come unto the Lord in confession of sin and faith in Christ. My challenge to you today, as we have considered, who do you listen to? What do you listen to? How do you measure it? Is to ask you, first of all, what fruits are in your life? Are the fruits of the Christian, the fruits of the Spirit, are they pleasing unto the Lord? Are they a good testimony before men? Praise God if that is so. My friend, if your life has produced nothing but sinful activities and sinfulness, then you need to be saved. And as your preacher, I tell you, there's only one way for you to be saved, and that's by turning from your sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your life will be judged. There will be a payday at the end of the road. Good for those who are saved, but tragic for those who are lost. Come to Christ. And dear believer, pray for your preacher. Pray for your minister. Pray for your pastor. Pray the Lord will protect them. Give them wisdom. Guide them in truth. And simply make them a vessel through which he can flow as he preaches each Lord's day. And pray that the Lord will open the eyes of people sitting under false prophets, lest they go following him to hell. May God grant it to be so. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word today. Thank you for your help. And thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just this timely reminder. Lord, help us to be so careful about what we expose ourselves to, what we listen to, where we go, what we support, what we attend. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to follow those things that glorify God. Help me to be faithful in this congregation, I pray. Lord, I need thee. I am nothing of myself, but I thank thee, Lord, for thy Spirit that gives help. And I pray, Lord, you'll daily fill me with thy Spirit and help me to be the person, the preacher you would have me to be for this congregation. Give us discernment and wisdom. And should there be one person watching who's not yet saved, will you bring them to faith in thy dear Son? Give the gifts of faith and repentance, we pray. Be glorified, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. Amen.